This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, and he takes us immediately to Roscosmos, which is becoming unpredictable. One day, Roscosmos is thinking about leaving the ISS. And the next day, Bob, a very good evening to you. ISS is a partnership, an international partnership, but a critical node is Zvezda, the module that keeps the orbit from plunging into the atmosphere. However, recently, Rogozin, who heads up Roscosmos, an intemperate man, has been making threats. Now he's made new unthreats. What has he said recently? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Early in March, Rogozin, head of Roscosmos, which controls the entire aerospace industry of Russia, Rogozin had made an announcement that by the end of March, if the sanctions are not removed against Russia for its invasion of the Ukraine, he was going to announce major changes in the partnership, including the end of the partnership on ISS. I had made several predictions about what they would do because I fully expected them to do something. Well, March came and went, and they didn't really announce anything initially, and now there's been several stories today in the Russian press, state-run press, that suggests the Putin government is backing off from those threats to end the partnership at ISS. First, Rogozin announced that they are eager to proceed with the barter deal with NASA to allow astronauts from NASA and the other international country partners to fly on a Soyuz in exchange one-to-one with Russian astronauts flying on either Dragon or eventually Starliner. I mean, this barter deal was routine when the shuttle was launching, and the idea was, of course, both sides, astronauts get to learn how the spacecraft of the other side works. If you're going to use a Soyuz or a Star, a Dragon capsule as a lifeboat, it does pay to make sure everybody understands how it functions. And with the shuttle gone, and now we have Dragon capsules flying to ISS, and we'll eventually have Starliner capsules, NASA wanted to resume that barter deal. And they've been in negotiations, and in fact, one Russian astronaut, Anna Kakina, who, by the way, is the only Russian female astronaut. She's already been to Houston to get training for this flight. And NASA was hoping that the first barter flight by the Russian would occur late this year. And now he's saying, regardless, that they're going to try to, they want to continue that arrangement. He also says, although we continue waiting for the government's decision on the program of cross flights, close quote. So obviously his bosses, Putin, for example, has not yet made a final decision whether this will continue, or maybe he just simply wants to leave the threat kind of hanging while the war in Ukraine goes bad. Rogozin also said, made statements that suggested that Russia is going to maintain its full partnership with ISS through 24, and maybe even beyond. He was basically talking about how it is really difficult to break this off quickly. It takes at least 12 months to plan the orbit of ISS. It's not quite true, but that's okay. He points out how the Americans want them to stay until 2030. He has questions about that, but they're at least going to launch their newer modules they have planned to launch to ISS. They'll get them launched, and then they'll decide what they want to do. There is the conceivable possibility they could detach those modules before deorbit and attach it to their own station. Of course, they have to be able to launch a core module to their own station, and whether they have the ability to do that or not is questionable. I would say the decision by the Russians to back off here is probably several reasons. One, I think cooler heads in Roscosmos convinced Rogozin and Putin that in terms of cost and safety, a quick exit made no sense from ISS. It's also probably the decision came from the fact that their losses in the Ukraine, they're not in a strong negotiating position in anything now. They've lost all their economic partnerships from the West, especially in space, and thus they really wouldn't want to lose the one partnership that remains, and that's on ISS. So I think that's influenced this decision, John.
I mentioned this is the 61st anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's space flight in 1961, and significantly Vladimir Putin and Lukashenko, the big boss of Belarus, traveled all the way to Vostochny to make that announcement. We'd expected something significant on this ceremonial day, and the announcement is no change at ISS. And that's good news, Bob, because yeah. It's going to cause a lot of problems for low Earth orbit. We now move to another problem in low Earth orbit. That's junk. There's lots of junk up there, Bob. Who's thinking about removing it?
Well, there's a bunch of companies thinking of doing so, but the one, the subject of today's report is a company called Astroscale. It's a Japanese company. And they have had a demo mission in orbit now for several months in which they want to demonstrate the usability of a capture device they've developed and the ability of their service robot to rendezvous and dock with that capture device. It's a magnetic capture device. What they want to do is they want to sell satellite companies the idea of attaching this capture device to their satellites. So when the satellites become defunct, Astroscale will launch its service robot to capture the satellite and either service it or deorbit it, get it out of space so it won't be junk anymore. So this demo mission was going to demonstrate the rendezvous of a service module to dock with a target satellite that had a capture device. And unfortunately, when they were trying to do this in they did an initial test, and that was successful. And that was only a very quick separation and redocking. And then they were going to do a secondary test in January, but they had to halt that for what they only said was, quote, anomalous spacecraft conditions. And they've been sitting, trying to supposedly get those problems fixed now for several months. Well, this week they finally revealed that those conditions were that on the service satellite that's supposed to do the rendezvous and docking, four of its eight thrusters did not work. In other words, it didn't have the thrusters to maneuver as planned. And so they've been trying over the last 2 months since that failure was identified to complete the rendezvous using the remaining four thrusters plus aerodynamic drag and the Earth's gravity to bring the service satellite safely back to close enough to the target so that a capture can occur. They have to do this safely. They don't want a collision, which, of course, would create more space junk. And so they now say they have not gotten close enough to continue operations. They're not sure whether they'll actually do a capture. They say that will still prove a lot of their technology works. But I think from a business point of view, they really need to show this capture works. And so that's where we stand right now. I think their idea is a viable one and should make money, but they got to demonstrate it to make it really sell, John.
ULA is dealing with the facts that it does not have confidence that it's going to get the engines it need to fill a contract for Amazon. So they've made a decision. What is it, Bob?
Well, in a sense, this isn't related to their other problems. ULA just signed a major contract with Amazon to launch a lot of its Kuiper satellites that are going to be part of its constellation to provide internet to the world. I think they had 38 launches. I'm doing it off the top of my head, but it's a lot of launches. And they were going to use their Vulcan rocket to do most of these new launches. The Vulcan rocket, its upper stage is called the Centaur upper stage, and it's basically an upgrade of a upper stage that's been used for literally half a century. The Centaur upper stage has been used since the early 60s, but it has been upgraded. Aerojet Rocketdyne makes the engine for that upper stage, so ULA now has ordered 116 rocket engines, probably the largest the contract that Aerojet's ever gotten, of these upper stage engines for its Vulcan rocket, so that it'll have the engines it needs for these many, 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 many launches. I mean, Tory Bruno, the head of ULA, says this could mean 25 launches a year just to get these Amazon satellites up. This, though, however, does not have anything to do with the first stage engine, the BE-4 that Blue Origin is making. ULA still sits here waiting for that engine. And Blue Origin says it's going to deliver the first two flight-worthy engines by summer. and they'll be able to make the first launch of the Vulcan rocket before the end of the year. I remain skeptical of that. I will say that even if they do get those two engines delivered this year and they make the first launch of a Vulcan Centaur rocket, there's questions whether Blue Origin has the capability right now to produce the quantity of engines that are going to be needed for this for ULA.
Which is a puzzle, Bob. They're ordering the upper stage, and we have no confidence there'll be a first stage, none whatsoever, nor sufficient to match 116 upper stages.
Well, I think that this decision is connected with what ULA knows about the BE-4 engine. They know a lot more than you and I. And Amazon would not have signed the contract with them for the Vulcan rocket if it didn't also know a great deal more. Remember, Amazon, though it's a separate company than Blue Origin, both were founded by Jeff Bezos. So they're going to have good information. And so I think everyone here is feeling more confident about the BE-4 engine. I repeat, though, building a flight-worthy engine is not the same thing as mass production of a flight-worthy engine. And this is a problem that SpaceX and Elon Musk has pointed out numerous times. It's not the invention that's important. It's the production that's important. And that's sometimes more difficult. And so it seems Blue Origin has had problems with its production. Maybe this contract tells us they've solved it, John.
Okay, groundbreaking. Always exciting in commercial space. Rocket Lab, what are they up to, Bob?
Rocket Lab is going to make a new, larger rocket called the Neutron rocket, and they had decided to put the factory to build it very close to Wallops Island, to the Mid-Atlantic spaceport there, that they want to use to launch the Electron smaller rocket. And the idea was put the Neutron factory right next to the launch pad, so it would be very cheap to transport the rocket to this launch pad. And so they have now broken ground on that manufacturing facility for the Neutron rocket. It's a 250,000 square foot facility. They've broken ground this week on that, and they hope to be launching in the next few years. The Neutron's an interesting rocket in design because the first stage is supposed to be reusable. But what they've done in designing it is they've actually made the first stage include the skin of the second stage as well as the shroud that protects the payload. So what happens when the second stage must separate, what will happen is the shroud opens like jaws on an alligator, and the payload and the engine of the upper stage exits. So the upper stage, once it's in deep space and doesn't need a skin anymore, basically doesn't have one. It goes down with the first stage, which is going to be landing vertically and be recovered. And that's a very interesting design, and it's a very good concept. So that's what they're building with the Neutron rocket, and they've now started their production.
Commercialism in space. The Indian big space program is going commercial. Who'd they hire?
Well, they're trying to go commercial. I'm not sure this is such a big change, but at least they're trying. ISRO, which is the Indian Space Research Organization, it's their NASA, essentially. It has now hired a private Indian company called Hindustan Aeronautics to build five PSLV rockets. The PSLV is India's smallest size rocket for doing low Earth orbit satellites. They've in the past made money on it, launching commercial satellites. And so the ISRO in the past built it in-house. That's not really true. What they did is ISRO controlled the construction and the design and hired private companies as well as their own people to build it. Well, what they've done here is they're now going to hire a private company with subcontractors to build these rockets. In a sense, what's happened is ISRO is no longer the main contractor, the prime contractor. Hindustan is now the prime contractor. It's a step in the right direction. Whether Hindustan will own the rockets and be able to build more of them and sell them to others, that's not clear, and I don't think they'll have that right. So they haven't quite gone commercial yet, John, but they're moving in the right
direction. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. When we come back, we're going searching for a path up on the surface of the planet Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.